the kids, all, this is what a church would look like with an abundance of teenagers and young people. Not so super active, right? So we thank God for the young people and the teenagers that we have in our church. They're all at youth camp. They're doing great. They're having a great time. Trenton, who you guys heard on Sunday, he taught on the blood, having faith in the blood of Jesus. That's an awesome message. You should go online and listen to it if you haven't heard it. He is preaching up a storm. The kids are responding, and lives are being changed. So we're just so happy that our church, our kids, could be part of this. And my understanding is a mission group, Club 1040, which is a Rhema mission group. They sent some representatives there yesterday, I believe it was, and they were making young people aware of a mission trip, short-term mission trip that they organized. Next year, they're going to be doing one in Manchester, England, UK. So apparently, quite a few of our young people, I don't know our young people or what young people, 31 kids exactly went up to be prayed for to consider that trip as a short term. I know that our son, Gabriel, is one of them. So next July, he'll be going to the UK. But I think that's so awesome to go to youth camp and have all these experiences. Amen? Well, let's pray before we get started tonight and just ask God to be among us. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Father, that we serve you and it's not the other way around. And so, Lord, I just speak into this atmosphere, the atmosphere of this church, your church, your house that you've put together. I speak that you are the King here, that you are God here, that it's your voice that runs what happens, that we're all merely workers in your kingdom. So, Father, with your presence in this place today, we acknowledge the life-changing word of God that you have put into written form for us so we can follow your commands, so that we can know what you sound like, so that we can know the truth, and that truth that we know will set us free. I speak into this atmosphere today that the Holy Spirit moves with signs, that Holy Spirit has our ears and our hearts, and we listen closely. No other voice gets to give us instruction in this place tonight but the voice of Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you that you show us something we've never seen. Let us hear something we've never heard from your word. Give us revelation knowledge in this place tonight and cover us. We speak the blood of Jesus that covers. And Father, you will frustrate the plans of the enemy. And we will hear the truth of what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to get into the word, and we're going to get into something that is quite familiar. The kids can go off to Kids Life now if you'd like. Ready for Kids Life. We're going to get into a passage that's very familiar to everyone. Let's go to Psalm 23. And I'm going to teach tonight from the perspective of what we know as believers, what we know as Christians, okay? We have a responsibility to share with everyone around us. So everyone is familiar with Psalm 23 on the screen, the New Living translation printed out here. And what I would like you to know is, as we're reading this, this psalm was written by a young person, King David, when he was young, right? And I want to talk to us today about, I'm not sure what the title of this is, so make up a title for the message. I want to talk to us about our responsibility to let who God is be found in our children, in the children of our community, in the children of our schools, and in the family members, the children of the family members that we're part of. So if you don't personally have kids, this is not something that you turn off to. You are a Christian. If you are a Christian, this applies to you. If you're not a Christian, you can get to be a Christian tonight. That's simple. That's wow. That's done. You understand what I'm saying? And there are things we know and things we have access to that it is our responsibility to command it to happen in our community. Do you hear what I'm saying? So tonight is, you're going to learn some things for yourself, but you're going to get some information. Let's change this town. That's the first thing. Let's change where you live. Let's change your family lineage. Our teenagers are being ministered to right now, and they're having an encounter with God. But like next week, they're going to go to school. And they're going to have other encounters. You understand what I'm saying? And we're a church in this community, and I am personally interested in our school system not renewing the minds of our children to the ways that are not of God. All right, everybody on board with this? So here is a young man. This is what he had to say as a young man. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now that last line, I will live in the house of the Lord forever, was said by a young person. What do you think would happen in our community if our children said that? Right? So when do we get that? When do we get children that grow up with that thought in mind? We have to start somewhere. I'm ready to start now. I don't know who's on board with me, but I'm ready to start now. So tonight, if you're here, you're going to hear information that you can't unhear, and you're going to have to make decisions concerning where you live and the kids that are involved in your life. Now, this will also go apply, of course, to adults. But today I'm focusing on our children, our young people and our children. So let's go through. The Lord's my shepherd. I have all that I need. What is it that our children go through that they feel like they're missing something? You know, they're missing something. And so they're longing for something. And we have people available to fill those voids. Their peers, their friends, the people that are in the community marketing stuff that fills the void because the kids don't think they have what they need because the Lord is not the shepherd. You see what I'm saying? So let's talk about David for a minute. And let's go to the story that everybody knows about, David and Goliath, 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 to 11. You tracking with me so far? Everybody here? You guys are so quiet. I now know the difference of what happens when we do worship first. But let's just pretend like we did. Right? 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 to 11. And this is a scene of where David walked in, and he was an adolescent. That's what the Bible states him as. In verse 32, in that same chapter, if you look at verse 32 real quick, it says, the verse 32, David, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. Right? So we're looking at a young man here. So let's go back up to verse 8 to 11. And if I can get there fast enough. So Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He's called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. And I wanted you to see that the adult king and the army that was trained for battle, they were shaken and terrified by Goliath, who was fighting for the side that was the enemy to them. And not only did Goliath taunt them daily, but he also set the groundwork. He set the stage for how this fight is going to be. So he says, you bring one man that can fight me, and then if I win, you're my slave. So he redefined the position of who this army was, and then he called them an army that were slaves to their leader, which was not true, right? So the way I want to equate this today is that our culture has set the stage for how we are going to raise our children. They've set the stage for how this fight is going to go down. And we are Christians, we're believers, we know Psalm 23. It tells us in here, everything, if you read Psalm 23, everything that the culture is searching for, it gives us in Psalm 23, if God is the shepherd. Do you see this? But unfortunately, our children and our young people, when they get into that whole system, the shepherd starts changing of who the shepherd is. And the parent starts agreeing unconsciously with who the shepherd is. And then we have where there's a couple hours at home where you try to instill good values, but then the rest of the time they're in school. And I think as a church and as believers, we can change this. I mean, are you with me on this? Okay. So let's take a look at David's life. David was Psalm 23, David, young man. He started off on the scene. We see him fighting Goliath, and he wins. He wins as a young man. We have to have the mentality that our children can win right where they are. They don't have to wait until they become adults. In this, in the training here, in the story of David and Goliath, the adults were the ones that were afraid. Is that not what's happening today? Everybody's trying to be politically correct, and the adults are afraid. And here is this young man that came to be a delivery boy, and he wins a big, big battle for his country. I'm talking about our community. We can completely win our community, completely. We don't have to have people enslaved. I'm thinking about this today. I'm praying. I'm going, you know, we have Psalm 23. We know what it means. We have the Word of God. We have Deuteronomy 28. We have all these things that we know about the Bible, and the people around in our community are living, yearning for these things, and they're trapped because they're stuck in a system of belief that pulls them away from all this. Okay? And so David became king when he fought Goliath. The other thing that happened is David, go to 2 Samuel 7, 6-21. Oh, First Samuel. Or wait, sorry, hold on a second. Chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7. I'm in the wrong place. That doesn't say what I wanted to say. 2 Samuel 7. Do you have it up there? Okay. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Go to the next verse for me. This was talking, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. Do you see that? So David became a man who Jesus, the lineage of Jesus, came out of. That's found in Matthew chapter 1. If you want to make that note, Matthew chapter 1 tells us that Jesus came from the line of David. And the Bible talks about, in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. You want to put that up for me? Luke chapter 1, 32 and 33. Okay. And we're going to see that the throne of David was established. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What's verse 32? Go back to 32 for me. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And I was talking about Jesus. Do you see how somebody who saw God as shepherd, a young man from his youth, and look at the lineage that he established because he understood who God was to him. Now, the other thing is, which I did not read, but in order for David, before David fought Goliath, in that chapter in Samuel there, 17, he discussed with Saul, because he had to convince the adults that we could win this fight, like we're better than the Philistines. Isn't that something? A teenager is convincing a king, who is the army of God's people, that we could win this fight. So he had to convince the king of his qualifications, right? And as a young man, he was in charge of something. He was in charge of sheep, and he fought lions and bears and all these wild animals with his bare hands as a young man. Do you realize that our young children, our young people, are having to fight off things that are so huge in their school that we would shudder at? They probably don't even tell us half the stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they're dealing with the lions and the bears too. Well, why not equip them? And here's the other part. Why not support them in prayer? So tonight, that's what we're going to do. Are you on board with this? Are you guys on board with this, right? Okay, so David became a king. His throne was established forever. Jesus came from the line of David. Jesus is a descendant of David. This is one young man, and look at his line. Look at what he set himself up for. And it's because he hooked up with God. He was the youngest child in his family. When the prophet came to anoint the kings, he was not even considered. He was still out with the sheep. They never invited him to dinner. So we have kids today in our community, in our family, that think they are not good enough for anything. They are thrown away. They are just useless. And God has a different plan. When God wrote the plan for David's life before the foundations of the world, it had him set up as the lineage for Jesus to come from. And he fulfilled it. And if you read other genealogical records on this in the Bible, you'll find that they list Abraham along that line. Okay, so and God came to Abraham and wanted to separate him out to have his own people. Do you see this whole pattern here? But I'm here to tell you that your family members, even your grown adult family members, whoever the enemy has attacked, your prayer is going to get them out of what the attack zone looks like. Do you understand? So it's a this, we can't do that. But we have to start standing up and saying, you don't tell us what to do. We have weapons of war. We're going to use them. What did David use against Goliath? He didn't use his bare hands. He used the weapon he's been training with. His slingshot, right? So what weapons have you been training with? You know, we got the word, we have prayer, we have the Holy Spirit. He's not a weapon, but he is a leader. He is the one that leads us into all truth, and he's a guide. And he is the one that gives us power. You see what I'm saying? And so tonight was more of a prayer night, but I wanted to encourage us all that we have a responsibility to take into consideration what we have available to us, what we know about, what we can do, and not be walking around looking at the news, thinking about hearing about what's going on in our town, hearing about what's happening in our schools, and just feel helpless. We are not helpless. We need to change the atmosphere of this town. We need to completely change it, and not just this town, whatever town you're from. We live in a different town than here, and you can guarantee the atmosphere. What we're praying tonight is going there. Do you hear what I'm saying? And wherever you have family members, let's take responsibility. Write it on a paper. I'm praying. I'm speaking this into this community, into these places where my family members live. Let's start with our circle, our closest circle, so that we can eradicate. It's time for us to stop being so quiet about this stuff and start shouting no. Amen? So I just wanted to give a little bit of background of one young man in the Bible and how we want our grown men and women to be. What would have happened if somebody had picked up the parents now, you know, that have kids going to school, and the families now? We would have a community of people who are just like hungry after God, so much so that this community would be turned into a missionary community. We'd have people all over the world just going and sharing the gospel. I mean, is that not cool? In Acts, in the book of Acts, they set the stage. You know, there's a principle of sowing and reaping in the Bible. And in the book of Acts, they sowed a lot. They sowed a lot of time. They sowed a lot of martyrdom. The early Christians, they step on all kinds of places. And where the sole of your foot shall tread, you shall have it. And it's we need to pick it up and keep going. We don't have to restart it. We've already established some things in the church, wouldn't you say? The church has already set up some standards and some foundations, and we have to build on it. We don't have to start over. We don't have to behave as if, you know, the church is something new. It's not new. It's been around for a long time. And we're not the new kid on the block. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have to be the underdog as the enemy has infiltrated to make everyone feel. So tonight, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray. And so I'm gonna cut out all the feed so we can goodbye to our Facebook friends. It was nice having you. The thing